So, just jumping right in here because it goes fast, that's for sure. I'm going to study a little bit about Baptist history, and that's what the plan is. And I just want to go ahead, I know we sent out some letters, but I'm just going to do this. We are going to have some books that we're going to use, and I will encourage everyone to have a book. And just going to see here, we have the Faithful Baptist Witness by Phil Stringer. Does anybody have this? If you have it, I see your hand here. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. If you do not have one of these, I have a few over here. If you want to borrow them or use them or whatever the case is, but they're over here. Does anybody want one to use tonight? That'd be sort of nice. Nobody. All right. So I will encourage you to get a book, and I will try to explain why, because instead of me just telling you, Dick, I hope you're going to be able to read it and see it for yourself. And then the other book we're going to be using is, well, we have other books, but John T. Christian, The History of Baptists. Does anybody have this book? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, well, I don't want to be doing all the reading, and we are going to be doing some reading. And I jokingly have said this over the years, if your mom lets you write in your Bible, we put footnotes in our scriptures, right? We put other cross-references and stuff. If you want to, you can find yourself writing cross-references with other history books with this. I will encourage you to do so. And how about Trail of Blood? Anybody have a Trail of Blood? Oh, there's 3 or 4 of those. Good. Good. Those are just some of the main books that we're going to be going through. So let's just establish a point here. Does anybody need a John T. Christian book? Nobody does? I have 3 or 4 of them over there. If you want those, you can probably make a donation to the church. We bought a bunch of these a while ago. Let's just... Good? All right. For a night class, and there's a few extras, I'm sure. Christian. Do I need a Faithful Baptist Witness book? Spend all day doing that. All right, here we go. Let's, I don't know who raised their hand. Brother Doug, I think you raised your hand. Here's how I do this. Let's go ahead and get out Stringer right now, everybody. All right? I'm not just going to tell you stuff. We're going to go read and look. All right? Maybe it's been a while since you've done something like this, but we're going to turn to page 192. Page 192. I want to talk about these books. Page, you can grab one of those books to use if you want to. I've offered it twice. So turn to page 192. It's a 1, it's a 9, and a 2. All right? Now, if you would, I want you to go ahead and go to the last paragraph. If you're not sure what a paragraph is, you see a bunch of words, you see an indention, probably a paragraph or a typo, one of the two, but anyway, at the very bottom of it, page 192. All right, Sister Amber, you there? All right, would you please read loud? There's some people that don't have a book here. All right, it says many Baptist preachers, right? Would you go ahead and read that paragraph? And then you're going to read the top paragraph on page 193. Hopefully everybody's going to be there. Go ahead. So I just picked this out. I hope you could hear her. John Gano, George Washington. Maybe you've never heard of John Gano, but I hope you've heard of George Washington. All right, I know there's people that haven't. But, you know, our first president of the United States, maybe you heard of the War of Independence. John Gano, Baptist preacher, says here, baptized George Washington. Pretty neat. Nice. Hang on to that for a second. We'll talk about it in a little bit here. Christian, page 174. Let's turn to that one. Keep your book, page 174. 174. Brother Doug, are you there? Nope. How about who is? Brother Doug, do you need a book here? I've offered it. I'm just, there's books right there. Okay, here we go. About Brother Josh, about the third paragraph. Now, the way I look at it is the very top of there is a continuation from the day from the page before. So I call that the top of the page. So indent three times. Go down there with the word these are. We're going to read about a Quaker, a historian. And he's going to talk about some Baptists here, okay? Go ahead.
These are the most weighty historians who have written on English Baptist history. It is no less interesting to note that the historians who are not Baptists give great antiquity to the Baptists of England. Barclay, a Quaker, who wrote a book which he largely treats of the Baptists.
Okay, so everybody, here we go. So this guy named Barclay, he is a Quaker. If you don't know what a Quaker is, we'll talk about that later, but a Quaker is not a Baptist. Now he's going to talk about the Baptists. So let's listen to this quote. Here we go.
Next paragraph?
Yes, as we shall.
As we shall afterwards show, the rise of the Anabaptists took place long prior to the foundation of the Church of England. And there are also reasons for believing on the continent of Europe. Small hidden societies who held many of the opinions of the Anabaptists have existed from the times of the Apostles. In the sense of the direct transmission of divine truth and the true nature of scriptural religion, it seems probable that these churches have a lineage of succession more ancient than the Roman Church. Barclay, the inner life of the religious societies of the Commonwealth.
Everybody hear that? That's pretty neat, right?
Yes,
it is. Took place before the foundation of the Church of England. Lineage prior to the Roman Catholicism. Talking about English Baptists here. He's saying, why are we worried about English Baptists? If you don't understand how it works, the English Baptists came across the pond and became American Baptists. And that's pretty neat. All right, what a quote. What a neat little quote from a historian, a Quaker historian. Pretty cool. Acts. I hope you brought your Bible. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Let's go ahead and just read verses 12 through 17. Brother Jared, nope, you're not there. Brother Nathan, are you there?
Sure.
All right, if you would, please.
Which one's 12 and 13?
12 through 17, please.
But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first, and at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known to the people.
Chapter 8.
When they heard Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and he was baptized. He continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. When they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit.
All right, thank you. All right, let's just stop here for a second. We just read some Baptist history. Baptist history. Okay? We read out of three different books. Little Sesame Street here. One of them's different than the other two. Brother Bryce, I know you know this answer. We read out of John T. Christian, pretty good history. What's the difference in the three books we read about?
One's the Word of God.
One's the Word of God. That's a correct answer. More.
This isn't just another book.
What makes it different?
Divine inspiration.
Oh, divine inspiration. That's a pretty good answer. Brother Nathan was reading about this out of the inspired Word of God. Okay? Say it again, please.
Without error.
And it's without error. And we all know that, but let's be reminded of it. These history books that we're going to read, this is my disclaimer, I'll have it passed around for everybody to sign, all right? Man wrote these history books. Now, that's pretty cool reading about John Ganem. I even found a, Sister Ron, I found a nice painting of John Ganem baptizing George Washington, folks. It's a painting. That doesn't prove it. Do you realize that every time man writes, there could be something wrong? So as we go through this, we're gonna be reading out of some man-written history books from their research, and we're gonna have, ready for this, some contradictions possibly. Sometimes we might even find something wrong. But here's the deal. God is a judge, all right? I appreciate the effort that people have put in. I have found two different opinions or two different on some of the history that I'm reading about. I'm going, wow, which one do you believe? I found one of them that have five books on one and one on another. When man writes, there can be a mistake. You have to remember that. Case in point. We read to you. God told Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh to tell the people to obey God's law. But Jonah did not want to go and boarded a ship to Joppa instead. Brother Jared, he got on the ship at Joppa, but he wasn't going to Joppa, okay? All right, anyway, so his doctrine's messed up. He's been studying, okay? Any of us can make a mistake. It happens, okay? I don't think that was on purpose. I mean, I think it was probably one word changed, all right? But as we go through here, remember, these books are our helps. How do I say? I heard it said more than once. Okay, first of all, Matthew 16, 18. Talk to me. What's it about? Matthew 16,
18. It's
all right. So God was going to build his church, and that church was going to be here, and nothing was going to happen to it, and there's a church here today. Now, if you've read your Trail of Blood or studied a little bit, religion will tell you that the church went out of existence, yes? All right? In the Dark Ages, somewhere, you know, there was a problem and we didn't have a church. And in other words, Matthew 16, 18 is not true. Okay, well, of course we know that's false. Okay? We've read this, I've heard it said before, the Bible does not need science to prove what it teaches is true. However, it's always nice when true science supports the Bible, right? Yeah. The same thing can be said about history. The Bible does not need all these history books to prove Matthew 16, 18. But it is nice to find history that supports Matthew 16, 18. That's what we're going to try to do, hopefully, a little bit this year, all right? Does the Bible teach security to the believer? Yes or no? Once saved, always saved.
Yes.
Okay, this group in here believes that, right? Do all Christians believe that? Do all so-called Christians? No, they don't. The Bible teaches in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 that that there's not works involved with our salvation. Agreed? Right? That's what the Bible teaches. What about Christianity out there today? Do they have works involved, many of them, in their salvation? Sure they do. Sure they do. Thank goodness that we do have the inspired Word of God. We have the ability to read, and we have the Holy Spirit as Comforter, that we can see the truth about security of believer, and also see the truth about how to be saved, right? Let's go back to Matthew 16, 18. Already said it. Not all churches out there believe that Matthew 16, 18 is true. And why am I getting to? You're going to run into people at work, family members, whatever, that you're going to have to be able to sit down. But it says in Matthew 16, 18, and that's not going to be enough. Okay? It's not going to be enough. We read a quote from a, didn't you read that, Brother Josh, about, what was the guy's name, Barclay, whatever his name was, yeah? And he made some, that's a pretty good quote right there, right? Go ahead.
One of the things, and I was excited for you to get into, but at least with Christian, and not so much with Turner, but with Christian, he wrote his, and he went to Europe and found the records that he put into his two volumes of books in response to the leader of the Southern Baptist Convention, who he had interaction with and was a cohort at the time, John T. Christian. He wrote his books in response to a book written by the president of the SBC, William H. Whitsitt, who published a book for churches in America that said Baptists, that said there were no records of any scriptural baptisms performed anywhere in the world for 400 years.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we know the truth of that, that if that was true, then lineage and what you're putting is out. And that's when Christian, though it was in response to that, that at least Christian went back and did his work and he found all these evidences of scriptural churches throughout, even the Dark Ages.
I will say this, and I'm not, again, we're going to use this book, but there have been some nice compliments from other historians toward the work that he has put in. Okay? Again, can we? There could be something wrong in there? Sure can. But we're going to take the time and hopefully see a lot of very good marks, very good things that we can be excited about. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 here. Might get a little bit of Bible in before we get into all these books here. Bible says here in Matthew chapter 28, it says, the Great Commission, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You're talking about promises. We're talking about promises about eternal life. We're talking about promises of, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, here's another promise. All right? God promised he would be with his church. He would be there with them. How long? All right. And you know, you would think that everyone could be able to see this, but just like some of the other doctrines, so-called Christianity, can't see it. Church went out of existence, had to go back and reboot it, start it up, this, that. And it all sounds good to the people they're talking to. All right? Remember, God is right always, always, always. If you would, please, here we go. Brother Jeff, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Sister Dorothy, John chapter 17:17, if you would. Brother Bo, if you would. 1 Timothy 3:15. All right, let's go ahead and turn to these. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. What is God's desire for all mankind? We know this. What?
To be saved.
Now, is that really all people?
Yes.
What about the people during the Dark Ages? Did he want that to happen to them?
Yes.
What about people of different color? Come on. All men. Now, that we go to that verse all the time. He would have all men, and I want you to catch this, the Dark Ages. God wanted all people, even during the Dark Ages, to get saved, come to the knowledge of truth, and ready for this, being the bride of Christ. All right? John 17:17.
Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth.
All right, what is truth? God's word. God's word is truth, all right? Very important. And you're saying, well, does that mean the Holy Scriptures? Yes, that's a true answer. But how about this? The doctrines that are within the Holy Scriptures. Because I hear all the time that people get ready to go talk in a Bible study, and I think Brother Cooper recently said, hold it, that's my verse, right? Okay, the verse is there, it's God's. But what about the truth that comes with the verse? All right? Now, let's turn 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15.
But if I tarry long, thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave like
right, hold on to that one right there, and then turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Brother Austin, can you do this one, Ephesians chapter 2, and 19 through 22, remembering these verses that were just read, please, go ahead.
Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets.
The world, I'm going to do one the last time that I did this. All right. So we have the truth up here. I put it up here in this nice, beautiful drawing, right? I know you want to take a picture of it, keep it, right? So, again, truth is more than it's the true doctrines. It's the doctrines and teachings of God's Word, okay? According to the remote through this right here, who is the pillar and ground of the truth? We need to do it again?
Church of God.
The church is the pillar and ground of the truth, yes?
Yes.
And then Brother Austin just read, the church is built upon who? The foundation of the apostles,
yes.
and prophets, right?
Yep. Which is?
Yep.
Which is?
Jesus Christ.
I'm going to go back one more time. Dark ages. Did God want the people in the dark ages to have the truth, to become saved, and come to the understanding of the truth, and be in the bride, yes or no?
Yes.
He had a plan, didn't he? Church is out of existence in the dark ages. What happened to the plan? Well, God can do anything. And I agree with that statement. But he had a plan.
Yeah.
It's the same plan he has today, 2023. And yes, Matthew 16:18 is really the only verse I need to read. But I want you to understand that God places New Testament church here for a reason. That's to uphold the teachings and the doctrines of the truth so that people can understand. So people can not get caught up in the religion. Yes, not go to hell, of course. That was the plan. And I'm here to tell you that there might not be a lot written down, but the enemies of God have written enough down in our history. We can see that there has always been New Testament churches, even during the dark ages, to uphold that truth that he has planned for Apostle Joel.
So great illustration. According to the Word, the Church of God holds up the truth. The church went out of existence. There's no more truth that follows. But the truth is God. So then who failed, according to the story and to the religion? God failed.
God must not have been able to do what he's...
God failed.
I hear what you're saying, yes.
Which really is the point of the lie, because then that exalts man. Because man can fix it.
Yeah.
Everybody hearing that? And because man came in and fixed it.
Yep.
The failure of the Roman Catholic Church, the failure of God's church, that's what they call it. We came through, and these great people, Mark, all these people, they came and then they saved the day. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yep.
All right. See, we have some people you might know, Brother Josh, and I might not accept that Matthew 16:18. You read about the historian, a Quaker, and he's talking about the Church of England. He's talking about Roman Catholic. This is what someone who's not a Baptist said about the brother.
Yep.
All right. I'm not a very good reader. You guys know that. Some of these books are hard. Some of that old English is hard for me. Yep, reading was shining up.
That's probably why
you're
dying last
down. Oh my gosh. I'll be glad if you take over on that. Alright. But I'm here to tell you, we can do parts here and there, and some of the brothers have done some research, and now over here we can go and see if we can find a little bit that supports
Ephesians chapter 4, let's do this. Ephesians chapter 4. Here we go, let's run this here with Brother Jeremy. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5 for us. Go ahead, please.
One more, one thing, one chapter.
Again, I just read one verse. I know there's a little context here. But you guys, why was it necessary for them to write the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul to the church of Ephesians that there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism? Why was that necessary? Say it. Someone said it.
Somebody was practicing other things already.
Someone said it again.
Somebody was already practicing other things.
So we had more than one faith. During the first century, brother, there was more than one faith. More than one system of practice and doctrines. There were other churches. Is that an easy way to say it? There was other beliefs. And so, yes, some problems started from the get-go. Jude chapter 1. We'll try that one. Verse 3. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should what? Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Why was that written?
Because people were not contending.
Because it needed to be written.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. You don't. That was a lot of a great answer.
Alright. Sister Katie, what did you say? I couldn't hear.
I was going to say because there were people that were not contending for the faith, but
that's not a wrong answer.
People were contending for a different faith.
Because there were other faiths out there that people were saying was the right one. Might even been using for the convert some of the same scriptures to say it was the right one. And so the admonition here is no. We need to contend for this faith and get this record set straight what the truth is, because some people were perverting it. Galatians chapter 1, go ahead.
Well, they're making the word fair. I want it this way. I got a lot of followers in the church to have God's good standpoint.
So Brother Jim's bringing it out. This is, I said, since the first century, he's taking it all the way back before the first century. All right, back to Abby. All right, nothing new. Galatians chapter 1. Just doing it, you there? How about 6 and 7, please?
I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ.
Okay, so, Brother Nathan nailed it back there. We have three scriptures in the Holy Bible that makes reference to there was a problem in the first century, and the problem was there were other gospels. People were perverting the gospel, or they were promoting a different faith and practice. So right here in the first century, this is addressed in the Holy Bible. Here's the deal. He has not stopped since. Satan, Brother Jim, thank you, has been busy attacking the truth long before the first century here. But in the case, as far as New Testament doctrine, since then.
1, 6, and 7.
All right, everybody hearing that? So, maybe the question came up in the first century, Brother Nathan. Which church is right? Who knows? But it's definitely the question that we have today. All right? Did the church actually, not the first century, did the church actually go out of existence regarding the question? Alright, so if you would, Trail of Blood, let's go there. Brother Nathan.
Well, I know it's a rhetorical question, but which church is right? That Jude 3 said the faith that was once delivered, and when you read those writings of the Spirit through Paul, he says that a lot. As I had them delivered to me, I delivered them to you, the things that God taught. If anything outside of that is perverted. So they had the doctrine delivered to them. They knew what the truth was. Well, just like this today, the truth is right here.
And I want you to sort of hang on to what Reverend shared with you. We know that God used the holy men to write down the scriptures. Yes, we know that. But we also know that in the first century, there was a special office called apostles. It's tremendous importance. And sadly, it appears that when the apostles died off, the attacks came on stronger. There was always attacks against the truth in the church. Apostles carried a little bit extra anyway, when they died off, the attacks picked up. We're going to actually find that here, maybe tomorrow morning if we look there, if not next time, start looking at how that has taken place. But I agree, get your trail of blood out. And I know it's confusing, but there's different. Here it goes. I'm going to try my best. I tried it. There's a third version. You're on your own. All right, here we go. Trail of blood. You have this, this one right here. Go to page one, there's a Roman numeral. If you don't know what that is, it's two capital letter I's, all right? At the very bottom. I didn't bring any trail of blood, but everybody had one. See that? You have this one right here. It's on page two, at the very top. Starts off, it was wonderful to hear. If I see where I'm at, it was wonderful to hear. Everybody there, I hope. We're going to read. Right there. Good. Point to your neighbor. Help him out. Alright. If you don't know about the Trail of Blood, this guy is J.M. Carroll. Southern Baptist, right? Southern Baptist. He did a lot of research. He did a lot of effort looking at the Lord's churches during the last couple thousand years. Okay? Sister Kelsey, you there? All right, good loud, please. It was wonderful. Go ahead.
It was wonderful to hear Dr. Carroll tell how he became interested in the history of the different denominations, especially their origin. He wrote the book after he was 70 years old, but he said, "I was converted unto God when I was just a boy. I saw the many denominations and wondered which was the church the Lord Jesus founded."
Okay, so that is a simple question. Which was the church the Lord Jesus founded? That's what he wanted to know. All right, go ahead.
Even in his youth, he felt that in the study of the scriptures and history, he could find the church which was the oldest and most like the churches described in the New Testament. This research for the truth led him into many places and enabled him to gather one of the greatest libraries on church history. This library was given at his death to the Southwestern Baptist Seminary, Fort Worth, Texas.
All right, one more paragraph.
He found much church history. Most of it seemed to be about the Catholics and the Protestants. The history of Baptists, he discovered, was written in blood. They were the hated people of the Dark Ages. Their preachers and people were put into prison, and untold numbers were put to death. The world has never seen anything to compare with the suffering, the persecutions heaped upon the Baptists by the Catholic hierarchy during the Dark Ages. The Pope was the world's dictator. This is why the Anabaptists, before the Reformation, called the Pope the Antichrist.
All right, thank you for reading that. If you don't know much about the Trail of Blood, you know, maybe it's not the easiest one to read as well. Maybe the stuff in the 1600s is not easy to read. All right, some of that old English or whatever the case is. But I tell you what, some people were able to read the stuff and put it together. And it's going to be quite interesting. And I'll tell you something else. It's hard to read Fox Book of Martyrs.
Yeah.
Yeah, go read 20 pages that night before you get there. But I tell you what, you can read a little bit fancier. I tell you what, if you're not aware of this, folks, you Baptists, maybe you're not aware. Our forefathers have been hated for a long time. And I want you to say, they didn't get a thing. Many were tortured. Many were killed. Many. Numerous. Millions. But their love for the Lord, their stand for the truth, is why you and I, well, we're very fortunate because of their love for the Lord, their stand for the truth. Alright? Now, we read this. They might not have been called Baptists or missionary of Baptist, they might not even have the name in it. They might have some reference to maybe some leader of theirs. But you know what? Different names. It was not the names, what they believed, what they stood for, and ready for this, that lineage,
yep.
Back to that first church. Practice and doctrine, lineage, of course. Do we need to throw blood again one more time to prove Matthew 16, 18? Of course not, we do not need it. But it does, finding different quotes from different people or some of these histories, will definitely support this matter. All right? You're not aware of this, spoiler alert, I did not break this promise you guys at church today. I think I have time for this, let's try it, we'll see what happens. Let's go to Stringer. We'll probably wrap up. Let's go to Stringer, let's wrap this up here. Page 21, here we go. Maybe you've never heard of this before, and maybe you're going to say, so what about a king in Holland? What does that mean? How many people have heard of religious freedom before? Anybody heard of this before? Let me tell you something. Before the 13 colony, before the United States, you can count on one hand, you don't need all your fingers, how many places they had religious freedom. It wasn't there. In the 1600s, that's a couple years ago, I'm on page number 21. Page 21. We're going to read, and we'll just close class on this day here, okay? Sister Rhonda. About the first paragraph, please.
In the 17th century in Holland, William of Orange, the Dutch king, hired two scholars to do a study of the churches in Holland. His idea of the separation of church and state and religious freedom had allowed many kinds of churches to operate openly in Holland. The task he gave the two scholars was to study each of the churches in comparison to the New Testament and to determine which of the churches in Holland was most like the New Testament church. The two scholars were instructed to be completely impartial in their research.
Okay, so a lot of different, quote, churches had come into the land of Holland. Other places, they had state churches. You had to do this or else.
Mm-hmm.
You had to do this or else. Mm-hmm. And that or else was bad, okay? But in Holland, a lot of different folks were able to come in there. So here's this. He's not a Baptist, by the way. He hires these people, and you do some study, you do some comparing, and which of these churches are most like the churches of the New Testament? Thus the term New Testament church, right? Very good. Next paragraph, Sister Andrew, can you read? Go ahead.
William
loosely
identified himself with the Reformed Church, though he disagreed with their idea of state church. He naturally expected that this study would show the Reformed Church was closer to the New Testament. He prepared to publish the study and have it distributed all over Holland. He was greatly surprised when the study revealed that the Baptist Church of Holland were closer to the New Testament. To his credit, he went ahead and had the results distributed to the whole country.
Wow. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah, it is. And the last paragraph.
Obviously, it was of great importance to determine if the early churches had revealed the scripture. All the same principles that Baptists preach. We will look at each one of the distinctions from the perspective of the New Testament churches.
Here's the deal. These two scholars did the study. In their opinion, the churches of the area of the country that was closest to the ones of the New Testament church were the Baptist churches. Amazing. Again, not necessarily the Baptist historians, but actually the enemies of the church,
yeah,
of the Baptists, are writing this out. We're just touching the surface here. Hopefully we'll be able to get into more of this tomorrow. We are out of time. I encourage you to get your own books. I encourage you, if you don't have it, I have books up here. I said before, tomorrow, or I can buy some. Anyway, let's go ahead and stand and put the lights turned up.